live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. I'm looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy hump day to you all. It is February 27th, 2019. It's a cold and a bit windy one here in mid-Michigan, but we plan on, you know, bringing you some heat with another fire edition of WKAR's Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. A lot to get to on today's Current Sports. What a night it was in the world of college basketball as we saw top-seeded Duke fall yet again. Can you believe that? You think the Zion Williamson injury is hurting the Duke Blue Devils? You better believe it, folks. We'll talk about that loss. Also, a very entertaining game when it comes to Michigan State's next opponent this Saturday on the road. Folks, you know I'm talking about the Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana needing not one, but two overtimes to defeat the Wisconsin Badgers. That was also one incredibly entertaining game. We'll break down that game, and I'll have a few takeaways as to, you know, looking at that game, what we can expect in round two of Michigan State and Indiana come this weekend, okay? Also, we'll finally get to this discussion. It has been a discussion I've had in my back pocket, and we just haven't been able to dive really into it because of the college basketball talk that has dominated our show for the last few weeks. But HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel put together a very compelling piece in the month of January that details new statistics in the world of high school football. Now, we all know with the talk of concussions and chronic traumatic encephalopathy, we know that the numbers of participation when it comes to youth football, they're going down. But there's one interesting layer to this story that I did not take in consideration. And Real Sports did a great job in researching these numbers. Trust, I'm speaking to a lot of parents out there. Trust me, you don't want to miss that conversation, okay? We'll also talk some NBA. You know, we didn't plan this, but for those watching on the Current Sports live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News, you can see that I am rocking my beloved Detroit Pistons ball cap. Shout out to Scott Pohl. Actually, Scott got me this this free cap not too long ago. Our very own WKAR news reporter, Scott Pohl. Thank you, Scott. I love this hat. It's become one of my favorite hats. But also behind the glass, you'll see that engineer of the Monday-Wednesday edition of Current Sports, Connor Mathis, is also rocking his Detroit Pistons lid. And Connor, you're more so going, I'm going old school 80s Detroit Pistons with this lid. You're going with the 90s teal colors with the horse, you know, like the Grant Hill days.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I have the Grant Hill name and number on the side because he actually went to my high school.
Grant Hill went to your high school?
Yeah.
What high school did you go to?
South Lakes in Virginia.
Dig that. So I always forget that Grant is from Virginia.
Yeah, his family still lives in my hometown.
Does he give back to the school a lot?
He just gave a huge donation to the gym and
how
such.
How much money?
I have no idea. It's just, it's, I'll look it up real quick. It was something for a while because he wanted to give money back to the school for some time now, and there was like some some sort of discussion, shall we say, back and forth between my high school's athletic department and him. So
I didn't know that he went to your high school, man. That is awesome stuff. But yeah, you're rocking the Detroit Pistons lid. You know, that wasn't a popular logo back in the day. You know, the teal. Many people thought it was ugly.
I love this logo.
I used to think it was ugly when I was little growing up, but as I've grown older, I dig it, man. I love it. I actually have a lid that dons that logo as well. So with that being said, we are going to talk about the Detroit Pistons, who are right now just hot. And I didn't think I would be saying this, you know, last month. You know, if you would have told me that on February 27th, I would be talking about the Detroit Pistons possibly making the playoffs, I would have said, playoffs? Do we have that bite? Playoffs? No, the Pistons aren't making the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Right.
Playoffs?
I know. It's crazy because right now the Pistons are in that position right now to possibly make the playoffs, sitting at the seventh spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference. How have they been able to do that? We'll talk about that. I'll also briefly have thoughts on what's taking place with LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. And we will, of course, do all of that while inviting you all beautiful people to be a part of these next 60 minutes. Multiple ways in which you can do so. You can pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Again, you can weigh in on our new look live stream, courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Right, the Michigan State women's basketball team will play their final home game tonight against Penn State. Can you believe that? Yeah, March Madness is just right around the corner, folks. This game was supposed to be played back on January 31st, if you remember, but was canceled due to the weather, polar vortex, all that jazz, right? Senior Jenna Allen earned a team-high 18 points, 7 rebounds on Sunday against Michigan. Shea Colley earned 12 points for the Nittany Lions. Sophomore guard Camiria McDaniel, she led the team with 20 points in their win against Illinois back on February 24th. Tonight's game, set to start at 7 p.m. at the Breslin Center, can be streamed on BTN Plus. And even though this is the final home game for the Michigan State women's basketball team, this isn't senior night. The lone senior in Jenna Allen was honored against Michigan on Sunday. That was previously planned. Again, a lot of that having to do with this being a makeup game due to weather against Penn State. So there will be no end-of-game ceremony to honor Jenna Allen. That already took place on Sunday. Just letting you guys know that. All right. Also, last night, unranked Indiana beat number 19 Wisconsin 75-73 in double overtime. A star guard, Romeo Langford, led the Indiana Hoosiers with 22 points and 7 rebounds. Indiana ends a 5-game losing streak and will take on number 6 Michigan State at Assembly Hall on Saturday at noon. The Spartans, yeah, this is kind of some revenge, right? The Spartans lost to the Hoosiers earlier this season, 79-75. We have audio of the game winner from Mr. Romeo Langford.
I'm going with Langford, fast I can. You see at half court is Davis looking to set a ball screen, as is Race Thompson. I'm telling you, you got to get the ball going to the side and keep it on a side if you're Wisconsin.
But you want win or triple overtime. You're not doing anything other than this. Here's Langford.
He's due to make one.
Here's Langford for the win. He got it!
A little bit of Will Team in there. He got it! As Romeo Langford puts home the game winner propelling Indiana over Wisconsin. More on that game in just a moment. Mark Rocket Watts told SkyRisers.com yesterday that he plans on signing his national letter of intent on April 17th in Detroit. The four-star combo guard attends Spire Academy in Ohio and is the 32nd ranked prospect in the class of 2019. Michigan State already has a four-star wingman in Malik Hall who signed in the early signing period. Watts gave Michigan State a little scare when he committed but didn't sign with the Spartans back in November. Now MSU shifts its attention to three-star power forward Julius Marble after missing out on the likes of Vernon Carey Jr. and Isaiah Stewart. So again, Rocket Watts expected to sign with Michigan State next month, well, excuse me, in April, April 17th to be exact, in Detroit. Also, big ups to these two athletes. The NCAA Track and Field and Cross Country Committee announced last night that indoor track and field athletes Nick Garrett and Annie Fuller qualified for the NC2A Division I Indoor Championships. Garrett will compete in the heptathlon, in which he broke the school record back between February 22nd to the 23rd with 5,783 points at the Big Ten Championships. Fuller will compete in the women's mile, where last week she earned two medals and ran her personal best at the Big Ten indoors. Now, the championships will take place between March 8th and 9th in Arkansas. All right, last night, the Detroit Red Wings earned their sixth straight loss against the Montreal Canadiens, losing 8-1. Just a thrashing. Jimmy Howard started the night in net, but was removed after giving up six goals through just two periods. Canadiens forward Andrew Shaw would lead the team with three goals on the night, following with Max Domi scoring two. The Wings go on to face the Arizona Coyotes on March 2nd with puck drop scheduled for 8 p.m. And the Detroit Pistons will take on the San Antonio Spurs tonight on the road as both teams try to stay in playoff contention. The Pistons, currently in the seventh spot of the NBA's Eastern Conference, have won eight of their last 10 games. The Spurs are number eight in the Western Conference. Detroit, led by Blake Griffin, the lone all-star for the Pistons, averaging 25.8 points, 5.8 assists per game. Tonight's game tips off at 8:30 p.m. and, of course, can be seen on Fox Sports Detroit. And the 2-2 Tigers take on the 2-1 Yankees. Detroit and New York going at it in the spring debut of Michael Fulmer. Also making his debut is the newest signing for the Tigers, second baseman Josh Harrison. He signed a one-year deal with the Tigers on Saturday and can earn up to $3 million in the deal. The Yankees will send out Chance Adams to face the Tigers and will feature a majority of their starters for the regular season in this game, including Aaron Hicks and DJ LeMahieu. Also, Aaron Hicks just signed a seven-year, $70 million extension, while DJ spent the last seven seasons with the Colorado Rockies and this offseason signing a two-year, $24 million contract. Also, the Detroit Lions have hired Kyle Kasky as their new running back coach to replace now retired David Walker. Kasky is coming to Detroit after 9 years with the Cincinnati Bengals, where he began as the assistant offensive line coach. He was promoted in 2013 to running backs coach. And it was announced yesterday that Flint native and Olympian Clarissa Shields will be featured on Showtime's All Access social media platforms, along with Christina Hammer, ahead of their big bout. The episodes will air on March 29th and on April 5th on Showtime Sports' Facebook and YouTube pages, and will highlight both Shields and Hammer's preparation for that fight. The fight for the undisputed middleweight championship on April 13th on, of course, Showtime. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. If you have any thoughts on those headliners or any thoughts on the college basketball world, thoughts on Duke falling yet again last night, how about Indiana rallying in double overtime to knock off Wisconsin. What do you think of the match ahead for Michigan State and Indiana on Saturday? The Spartans on the road there out in Bloomington. So much that you can weigh in on. If you want to get it off your sports chest, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in on our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Romeo Langford putting the babies to bed last night. How about Indiana getting a gritty win against Wisconsin? It was a fun night. A fun night just to sit on the couch, you know, not be out in the cold weather running errands, but just to sit on the couch, max tax and relax and enjoy some college basketball because, you know, not only was the Indiana and Wisconsin game incredibly entertaining, but there was some shocking news that I had to do a double take because I, you know, after that game, I started doing some work and, you know, I got a notification on my phone that Duke had fallen yet again. Duke, you know, one of the powerhouses in college basketball right now, going through a smidget of a crisis. I don't want to call it all out crisis because, you know, this team is still coached by one of the greatest basketball coaches in the history of the game. And Coach Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, and still has so much talent. You know, Cam Reddish, and R.J. Barrett, Trey Jones. But they are without the biggest horse in Zion Williamson due to the whole Nike shoe injury. Also, I did, correct me if I'm wrong, Connor, if we can look this up, but I was half asleep when I, you know, when you're really sleepy and you're laying down and you're kind of like looking at your phone still, you may be scrolling on Instagram, and I was like probably seconds away from falling asleep. And I looked at my phone and I can't find the notification anymore. And I forgot to look it up this morning. But there was another shoe injury concerning Adidas last night. Did I dream that or was that real?
No, it's real, but
that's real. Yeah, that did happen.
The weird thing is that no one seems to come out saying the sky is falling for Adidas after their shoe broke. Whereas I saw so many hot takes on Twitter about how Nike's going to collapse now because one of their shoes broke out of the millions that they have. People are too much.
You know, it's very, very funny because, yeah, I mean, you know, the thing was, you know, Zion Williamson is the biggest name in college basketball. He's one of the biggest names in basketball, period. Arguably the biggest name in basketball since LeBron James, right? And when you have Zion Williamson wearing your sneakers, and that happens in the biggest rivalry in all of college basketball at the very beginning of the game. I mean, there were so many factors that weigh into that. So this, and I just Googled it while you were talking. Yeah, that happened last night with Indiana's Justin Smith, which saw his shoe come apart in last night's game against Wisconsin. Now, his is not as bad as Zion's, but it's pretty bad. I mean, like the thread is torn from the sole on the left side, or excuse me, right side of his shoe. That's just horrible. What is going on with the making of the shoes?
How much bigger is Zion than Justin Smith, though?
Yeah, I know, right?
So
that's true. Well, you know, and yeah, Williamson, I mean, we're talking 6 feet seven, 280 plus pounds. I mean, my goodness. So I don't understand though how this happens now, what, twice in the same month. That is crazy. Adidas, Nike, get it together, man. This is just bad press. So that happened last night. But you know, I just couldn't believe, you know, that Duke losing to Virginia Tech 77-72. Duke still, you know, 12-3 in the ACC, 24-4 overall. Duke will be fine, but I think it says something when you look at the recent losses now for Duke, you know, losing two of its last three games. You know, they had the win over Syracuse, but, you know, you lost to Virginia Tech last night, and then you did lose to North Carolina, the game that Zion did go down. I mean, I still believe Duke is going to be a number one seed in the NCAA tourney. Still going to be a number one seed. They'll be fine. They play Miami, then Wake Forest, then they close out the year. This may be a dicey game. Hopefully Zion will be back for the second meeting between Duke and North Carolina. But Duke will be fine. I think they still will be a number one seed. They'll probably be like a low-ranked number one seed, but still a number one seed nonetheless when the tournament comes. So, but we do have a bite. We have a sound bite from that game. Virginia Tech closing out Duke, shutting the door on Duke last night in that 77-72 win.
Point lead. Blue Devils have to hurry.
And find Reddish
for three. Won't go. Blackshear has the rebound, and Virginia Tech is going to knock off number three Duke.
Crazy stuff there, folks. And when you look at the box score, you know, RJ Barrett, he had 21 points to lead Duke last night, in addition to Cam Reddish, who was right behind Barrett with 17 points last night. And then you had Bolden coming off the bench to chip in with 14, Marquise Bolden last night for Duke. But, you know, for Virginia Tech last night, you know, looking at what they were able to do, all props to Blackshear Jr. You know, Kerry Blackshear Jr., you know, a junior forward, he can flat out score, and he's fun to watch. He led Virginia Tech last night. And this is weird as well. Another weird stat that I saw last night, Connor. On February 26th, not one, not two, but three times, on the same date, February 26th, Duke has lost to Virginia Tech. Isn't that crazy? Three times where Duke was highly ranked, Virginia Tech on February 26th. Now, three times they've knocked off the Blue Devils on that date. You think they want to change that schedule up a little bit when it comes to the Hokies? That's crazy stuff.
Now, was that all home games for Virginia Tech during those? Because if it is, then if I'm Duke's AD, I might do some some rearranging next season.
Right, exactly. I hear you. I don't know. I have to look up whether or not those were home games. I'm not sure, but that's a little bit eerie. And then, you know, well, first off, I'll ask you, Connor, are you worried at all about the Blue Devils? I mean, now that they lost, you know, they've lost two of their last three games. You know, where's your panic meter when it comes to the Blue Devils? Because I think they'll be fine, especially when they get Zion back. I don't know.
I think they'll be fine. I think the question for them is similar to like the question of a lot of the top tier programs is what are they going to do in the elite? What are you going to do in the Elite Eight, the Sweet 16? You know, we've seen a couple of really high powered teams just kind of fall asleep in those two rounds and just kind of lay an egg against a team that they any other day would just absolutely blow out of the water. So, I mean, if Zion comes back and is still Zion, I mean, it's a sprained knee, so that might take a little bit of time to readjust. I still would have them as a one seed.
I got them as a one seed.
If for nothing else for the brand, I mean, if for nothing else,
right.
they're a good team. They'll do their usual, probably elite. I pen them in solidly for Elite Eight, and then from there you just don't know. But
it's all about matchups, but I'm with you there. I think they'll at least make the Elite Eight. I still got them winning the national championship. But again, it's all about health. You know, health is wealth, especially when it comes to college sports. And I think Zion will be back for that finale against North Carolina because I think, you know, he's been thinking about, you know, that injury, and he went down in the beginning of that game. There's going to be a lot of emotions in when it comes to that game. And it's a sprained knee. I think he'll be back for that matchup. All right, real quick, I do want to comment on what happened last night when it came to Indiana and Wisconsin. First off, what a game that was. That was just fun stuff. I was glued to my television. I probably annoyed my neighbors last night because I did a lot of yelling on that couch watching that game. But, you know, looking at Indiana, you know, it had been 24 days since Indiana won a basketball game prior to last night. It had been 54 days since Indiana won a basketball game in Assembly Hall. 54, folks. That's a lot. That's a long, long time. A long time coming. And, you know, Indiana getting that win last night, what we've seen is that when Indiana is in desperation mode and they need a win, and it's been a long time since they've gotten one, ranked teams watch out. You know, Michigan State got bit earlier this year. I don't know if you can fairly say that Michigan State underestimated Indiana. I just think it was a great game plan mixed with I want this more than you. I think that Indiana wanted it more than Michigan State when they met earlier this season. And I think that's what we saw last night. And Romeo Langford, don't get it twisted. Indiana can be a dangerous team. Even though this is a team that's unranked, you know, and you look at that record for Indiana, it doesn't really blow you away. I don't know. I don't think this team is an NCAA tournament team. But, you know, give Archie Miller some time. Give him some time. I see you, Archie. Archie is trying to build something. And I think next year when he has his guys come in, his recruits come in, I think this team can be special next season. And you kind of see the writing on the wall a little bit when it comes to Romeo Langford. You know, Romeo Langford finally having his moment, quote unquote, you know, last night. You know, he's been great pretty much all year. And we've seen in spurts, you know, great move into the category of special. And, you know, he's the guy that sealed the deal. As you heard in that introduction, he sealed the deal in Indiana's first win over Wisconsin since 2016 last night. And, you know, when you really look at the details of that game, you know, Langford, he did have a chance at the end of regulation to, you know, on Friday, excuse me, against Iowa. Excuse me. If you look at that game against Iowa, Romeo had a chance to win it at the end of regulation. He settled, though, for a contested step back jumper. Just not a great shot. And I immediately hit Twitter after that game to see what the reaction was to that shot, because it was just a bad shot. It's one of those shots that you look at and say, Romeo, you're better than that. You know, you use your head there. You know, you could have taken your guy off dribble and just drove the lane and possibly made something happen there. So he misses badly there. And I went online and people were just bashing Romeo Langford and basically saying the same thing that I was thinking during that moment. Like, Romeo, just drive the lane. Oh, Romeo, just drive it, dude. Drive it, get fouled, go to the line, or try and make an easy bucket. Don't make it hard on yourself. And I think he learned from that, because capping off that 22-point outing last night, he had big buckets in those extra periods, and that included Romeo driving to the lane and sealing the deal on the Wisconsin Badgers. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. This will be, again, an away game for Michigan State. Michigan State right now will have heightened senses. And Michigan State will have a greater sense of urgency and will be more focused and more locked in because of what happened earlier this season. I think MSU and Tom Izzo, they want some revenge. And the fact that, as we're coming down the home stretch of this season, Michigan State in contention for a possible Big Ten regular season championship. I just feel like right now, and this is a hallmark of Tom Izzo, you know, right around this time of the year, when, you know, near the final games of the regular season, going into postseason play, Tom Izzo, he ramps it up to another level because he knows just how urgent this time of the year is. And one loss, one hiccup, one bad coaching adjustment, one bad game from one of your big-time players can cost you the season, just like it did back in March last year. All right, don't need to bring up those bad memories, I know. But I just feel like Michigan State right now has a heightened sense of awareness that I can't see Michigan State on the road losing to Indiana not once but twice. Granted, again, they're still without Nick Ward. Not sure when he's going to come back. You know, I think that we'll see Nick Ward. Heck, I don't think you need him, you know, to close out the season. I would, if he's still not anywhere close to, if Nick Ward is 99.9% ready, I wouldn't play him until the big dance. I just wouldn't. That's just me, though. I think you need Nick Ward to be at as close to 100% as possible. You need him to be as close to fully healthy as possible if you are going to make a deep run come tournament time. But I don't think you need Nick Ward to beat Indiana. I mean, you had a team without Nick Ward that beat one of the top teams in the nation in Michigan on the road at the Chrysler Center this past weekend. I think Michigan State can get it done without Nick. But again, as we are going to say every single game from here on out for the Spartans, Cassius Winston is going to have to continue to be not just good, not just great, but elite. That is going to have to continue. So your thoughts, just brief thoughts, and we'll dive more into this as the week goes along, and we'll preview this game in more detail come Friday, Connor. But, you know, your thoughts on what you saw from Indiana finally rallying to get a win again. It's been a long time. 24 days prior to yesterday that Indiana won a basketball game. What are your thoughts on what you saw last night heading into the Michigan State and Indiana matchup come this weekend?
I think you hit the nail on the head. They tend to play more motivated when they're in a big slump. With that being said, I'm just looking at their past games. I mean, everything except for their game against Minnesota was a really, really tight game. So they're going to play the opponent closely. But I think that can kind of be a disadvantage because you have to play the full length of time. They might come in tired. I mean, you don't know. That being said, they're playing at home. I still think MSU should win this game without many problems. I think the first loss to them was kind of a wake up call. I think they know how to better handle it. And kind of to go off of your point of Nick Ward, the only scenario where I would see them playing him before, I don't know, even Big Ten tournament, like second round of Big Ten tournament, is if the regular season title comes down to that Michigan game and he says I'm ready to go. That's
right,
the
right.
Only situation I see.
If right there is now, some emotional aspect to that game,
right now, if Michigan State takes care of business, I think you go into that last Michigan game as is, because mm-hmm. I believe they'll still have like a half game. Michigan State will still have a half game lead on Michigan because they would have split in a whole bunch of other tiebreakers, which I can't go into right now, mm-hmm. but. I think the only scenario where Nick Ward comes back for like second round of the Big Ten tournament at the earliest is if that Michigan game all of a sudden is a must-win game for a Big Ten title.
Right. I agree. If there, because that right there, I mean, the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry, it means so much here in the state of Michigan that I think Nick Ward, if he's anywhere close to 100%, he may go to Tom Izzo. Now, again, it's going to be up to Tom Izzo to say, all right, I want to play you now, or no, let's rest you. I know this is a big game. It's going to come down to Tom Izzo to make that final decision, but I think Nick Ward will really, really want to play. If he's anywhere close to being healthy, he will really want to play in that game if they do meet come the Big Ten tourney. But again, as I say all the time, who cares about the Big Ten tournament? It is just these end-of-year conference tournaments are all about just bringing in more dough for the NCAA, for the respective conferences. You don't gain much, if you ask me, unless you're a team that's on the bubble. Yeah, I understand this side of it, too. If you're a team on the bubble and you rally and somehow win that conference tournament and you earn a bid to get into the NCAA tournament. Is that what happened to Syracuse last year?
I
Syracuse barely got in. We
Syracuse,
know that.
Like, the last, like, 3 years has, like, snuck in the back door. Like, there was a couple years ago where Monmouth should have been over them, but Monmouth didn't get, like, the last win that they needed.
Right.
Like, Syracuse has been getting in on name recognition for a couple years.
Let's have one of our players look up who won the ACC tournament last year. Because we all know Syracuse, they got in, like, the final four, right?
Yeah.
You know, the first four, whatever they call
it. And then they had to beat Arizona State, and they kind of squeaked by them.
And they somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need to bring it up. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that, Spartan fans. Not going to do that.
The only thing, if you're at postseason tournaments, not the NCAA, the conference tournaments, the only thing I think that they make like a huge difference to you, if you're not, like you said, one of those bubble teams, is if you're one of the top three teams, and like this year in the Big Ten, if you're the team that misses the Big Ten regular season title by a half game, by a game, that's when I think the Big Ten tournament or the conference tournament means something to you, because like, oh, we didn't get this, so I guess we can get the next best thing. We won the conference.
And that's no – hey, the Michigan Wolverines, I mean, we've seen what they've done the past 2 years in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe there's something to be said that, you know, momentum. It gives you momentum going into the big dance, because Michigan did go all the way to the national championship game. Granted, they lost to Villanova, but, you know, they were hot. You know, Mo Wagner and company, they were really hot, and that kind of just continued – and also credit Jordan Poole to the miracle shot, right?
You could also say it tires you out, because look at the year that MSU won the Big Ten tournament, and then they go and lay an egg against Middle Tennessee State, which shot like the Golden State Warriors for a game, and then just decided not to play basketball the next one. I think they played Syracuse the next round too, so there's a lot of hurt in that game.
I know. There's a lot of pain. A lot of pain that Spartan fans are holding on to some hope. Hopefully that pain can turn into some joy come the big dance this year. But again, what do you say about Indiana topping Wisconsin in double overtime? The first win for the Indiana Hoosiers in 24 days. And we all remember what happened 24 days ago prior to yesterday, right? That is when Indiana beat Michigan State. That 79-75 win at the Breslin Center. Let's hit our first break, and we come back. I want to bring to you finally this really compelling HBO Real Sports report centered on participation in high school football, a new layer that hasn't really been talked about. We'll bring that to you and more. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Some big pimping, Jay-Z. Shout out to Connor Mathis behind the glass, man. I miss that joint. I miss Jigga. I miss Jay-Z. Can Jay-Z bring some new music to the fold? I know he's a busy brother, and he's retired from rap like five times. But I want him to come back, man. I miss Jay-Z. All right. A big shout out to our current sports team, along with Connor Mathis behind the glass. We've got Kara, Lauren behind the glass. What's up, guys? Also, Jared. I want to give a big shout out to Jared, because this doesn't happen every day. It only happens once in your life. Jared is turning the big 2-1 today. 21. Do we have like a hand clap, like sound effect or something, Connor? You're slipping, man. You're slipping down there, dude. What's going on? Yeah, bring it again. We got to play the happy birthday Stevie Wonder, man. But happy birthday to Jared. He turns 21 today. Oh, good times. I remember when I turned 21 when I was in college. I'll just leave it at that. Good times. Good times.
You remember?
Rolling, baby.
You remember your 21st birthday? Man, you aren't doing it right.
Well, I don't. Let's just say that. I don't. I'm just going to be honest with you, Connor. Good times, baby. Let the good times roll. Happy birthday, Jared. Also, get this. Kevin Pauga, who is the assistant AD at MSU Athletics with the MSU men's basketball team. He's also the creator of KPI Sports, which is developed by Kevin and ranks teams on a game-by-game basis. Really cool. They use a lot of metrics and statistics. He's a numbers guy. He's a numbers guy, obviously, because Kevin actually tweeted this 5 hours ago and noted that with Indiana's win over Wisconsin last night, peep this, Michigan State men's basketball has clinched a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. All right, so that means that Michigan State will not play in the first two rounds. Michigan State is now guaranteed to play now on Friday. All right, Friday, March 15th at the United Center in Chicago. That time is to be announced. The Big Ten Network will have coverage of the Big Ten tournament, in the early rounds at least. And get this, he goes on to tweet, within that tweet, MSU remains the only Big Ten team to play on Friday of all 22 Big Ten tournaments. Can you believe that? That's pretty cool. That's pretty impressive. MSU, the only Big Ten team in the conference to play on Friday of all 22 Big Ten tournaments. I think that just speaks to the level of consistency and excellence that head coach Tom Izzo and his troops have showed year after year after year. And we did further research. Shout out to the current sports team for looking this one up. I just wanted to know, with that being said, how many Thursdays, you know, because, you know, the early rounds happen like Wednesday, Thursday, and those are reserved for those who, you know, aren't among the tippity top of the Big Ten Conference. So I'm just wondering how many of those 22 Big Ten tournaments, which date back to like 1998, how many MSU have played on a Thursday? And I think we did research, and Jared and the team looked up and saw that Michigan State has only played on a Thursday four times. Four times in the Big Ten tournament's history. Quite remarkable, I might add. All right, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can go to Facebook.com/WKAR News to weigh in as well. I'll get to your comments in just a moment. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. I want to take a break from college basketball just for a moment here, because this is, it's one of my favorite sports shows out there. You guys know, longtime listeners know that I've got a big crush on the show HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, because I love the kind of work they do. It's in-depth journalism, done, you know, on sports, of course, but they bring you stories that you just don't normally get from, you know, the worldwide leader ESPN or any other medium for that matter. And they did a story in the month of January that centered on high school sports, in particular concussions and the ripple effect that it has had in the world of football. Now, you're sitting there listening to me and saying, oh, Al, here we go again, right? We all know about how concussions are affecting the game at the youth level, and, you know, CTE and the potential harmful effects that could have on those in youth sports, you know, little ones in youth sports and those who play the sport as adults, blah, 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 right? And that's nothing to say blah, blah, blah at, because that's a very, very serious topic. But there's another layer to this that HBO brought to the fold in doing some pretty extensive research that hasn't been reported on prior to. I just want to play a snippet. We do have the snippet queued up. Now, again, this is coming from HBO's Real Sports. It's a piece by Bernard Goldberg, who's one of the best in the game. I love watching him on HBO's Real Sports. And it centers around Freedom of Information Act request to Illinois public schools to determine the growth and the percentage of students receiving public assistance that make up rosters of the state's high school football teams. Check it out.
For the last year, Real Sports has filed Freedom of Information Act requests in towns and cities across the United States to learn if there's a change in the makeup of who's playing America's favorite game, a decade into the sport's concussion crisis. The answer, it seems, is yes. In town after town and city after city, records show that overall the number of boys playing football is falling fast, except among one group, the poor. Boys whose families qualify for government assistance, their participation in football is on the rise.
We've seen, you know, these sorts of trends in other sports, for example, boxing. But until now, no one's actually collected this data and looked at it.
We brought our research to Dr. Emily Crotius, a professor of pediatrics at the University of Washington, who has been studying participation patterns in football.
It's new data. I was, you know, really excited that, you know, through the Freedom of Information request, this data was available because I've been wanting to answer this question for a while.
So again, that's just a small snippet of the larger story that Bernard Goldberg of HBO's Real Sports did. It was a 20-minute piece. And, you know, HBO's Real Sports basically provided evidence that families with money are taking their children out of tackle football because of worries about concussions. However, when it comes to families out there that are receiving government assistance that are struggling, basically, right? The percentage of those young athletes, those students, when it comes to participation in the game of high school football, the numbers are actually rising. All right. It notes that between 2012 and 2017, the percentage of players from poor backgrounds increased 25%, even as the number of players declined, because that's what's happening across the nation right now. The overall numbers when it comes to youth participation in high school football are declining. Declining about 14.8% actually in that time period from 2012 to 2017. That's an alarming rate, isn't it? But those families who have money, who are well off, they're the ones who are primarily taking little Johnny and little Tommy off the high school football roster, while families in communities that aren't well off, that are struggling, receiving government assistance, poorer backgrounds, they're saying go out there, play. Increasing 25%. And when you really just sit back and think about that, it doesn't really surprise you, right? Because those who live in poor communities, you know, I'm from the west side of Detroit, and the mindset of many of my friends growing up, you know, Joy Road in Granville near Cody High School, you know, I grew up in that area, and a lot of my friends in the D, they looked at basketball or football as a way out, as a way to become a millionaire and to live a lavish lifestyle and to help the, you know, their respective families. It really is a way out. And it also in the piece, it interviewed, you know, Goldberg interviewed a parent who is receiving government assistance. And she talks about her young son who plays the game of football, who's really, really good. He's like nationally ranked. And he just asked her, I mean, you know, why? Even though you know these numbers, And you know the detrimental effects that CTE and concussions can have long term, you know, why allow your son to play? And she says, this could change our lives. You know, this could make us millions if he makes it. This could be our way out, despite what the numbers say. And that's a mindset. You know, we do desperate things, man, right? When we're in tough positions in life and we're willing to risk something for a possible high reward when we are in very dire situations. When we are in dire economic situations. And it's very alarming. It really is. And I just know for me, if I am blessed to have one day have an Alan Martin III, I'm not letting him play U football. I'm just not. Another added layer to this as well. Real Sports doing some further digging. And this one really is quite amazing as well. Bernard Goldberg and his team found that those who live in poor communities aren't as educated in the effects of CTE, of concussions, and again, the long-term health effects that those could have in relation to those who are in well-off communities. Those in well-off communities, they found, are much more knowledgeable when it comes to the health effects of the game of football and contact sports in general. So just something to think about, you know, because I never really thought about that. We've never had that conversation here on Current Sports, you know, being in desperation mode, those in poor communities saying, yeah, I see the statistics. And again, like I just stated, some not even really knowing the statistics or not taking them serious if they do, basically willing to risk, you know, that and say, you know what, go out there and still play. Because if you turn out to be somebody special in this game and go to the NFL, you could change the lives of our family and everybody around you. Your thoughts on that? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. While you guys are calling in and also weighing in on social media at facebook.com/WKAR News, you can tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. On the other side of this final break, I'll read a few of your comments and take some of your calls to close out this Wednesday edition of Current Sports. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports with about 5 minutes left here in the hour. Connor, you heard my spiel in segment B just now. Just your thoughts on the report from HBO. Because let's be real, it's not surprising and it makes sense. And if anything, for me, it just further calls into question, and this is a loaded question, right, that we could have for 5 hours, right, all day, to be honest with you. How do you make the game of U football safer, right? I mean, the piece also showed a few communities out there that have just totally said, all right, we're not even going to have tackle football anymore. They have switched to an all-flag football system. So I don't know if you can ever make the game of football, which is in nature just naturally a physical sport, right? I mean, the objective is to go out there and hit somebody. You got to tackle somebody to stop them from running. I mean, it's naturally a physical gladiator sport. I don't know how much more you can make it safer. But you're reacting to this report, though. Are you shocked at all?
No, I'm not surprised. Like you said, if you're in a poor situation, I mean, it's a way to get out. I mean, at the minimum, you don't even have to go to NFL. At the minimum, if you're good enough, you can get a scholarship. You can get an education.
Exactly.
If you're good enough in college and you don't translate to the NFL, you can get a sponsorship deal off of that. I mean, there's plenty of college athletes who did absolutely nothing in the NFL and, you know, they get a couple commercials a year. They sponsor something, but I mean, one way or another, it's a win for them. Mm-hmm. In terms of making it safer, I've seen a lot of ideas, and the one I think is probably the best idea is absolutely minimize the risk. You know, instead of throwing your 7 or 8 year old into tackle football, get them into flag football. Get them in flag football until, I would say, in my opinion, until high school, because then at least at that point the brain is a little bit more developed. You can kind of bulk up. There are things you can do as like preventive measures, but I mean, it's still going to be a dangerous sport. But at least in the in the model of okay, we'll do flag football. You're not getting the injuries, the trauma until later on when the body is more capable of responding positively. Mm-hmm. And the other thing from that too is if flag football, you get all the skill positions. What are the positions that we're always needing? They're always going to get the most attention. I mean, if you start flag football, you can be a good quarterback, good receiver, good defensive back, good defense, good safety. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean,
those are good points.
Yeah.
And you know what? Also, you know, in talking with the parent in this piece as well, it also hit on what you just said. I mean, at the very least, even if he doesn't make it to the NFL, her son can go to a college, get college paid for because they can't pay for it, get college paid for through a football scholarship in which he can earn a degree that can help him get a job. You know, and that's an avenue that football can open up for him. And then, you know, they profile this high school coach who goes around and talks about, you know, how, you know, the game of football in college, in the sport of football, and when it comes to college football gives away the most college scholarships in comparison to any other sport combined collegiately.
That's because the roster is so dang big.
Because the roster is huge, right?
It's a huge roster.
Roster is huge. So if you can get your education paid for, even if you don't make the NFL, you still go to a college where you get a four-year degree, hopefully, right, if you stick it through. And that could possibly get you a job in the job market. So, but also another layer. I'm telling you, we could do a five-hour show on this, Connor. You know, with a lot of children of wealthier families, you know, going to different sports, obviously, they're going to fast-growing sports like lacrosse and rugby, which, depending on the study, are right behind or even ahead, in the case of rugby, of football in terms of the rate of concussions among its participants. I just think that football gets such a big flack because it is the most popular sport here in America.
Well, yeah, no, that's the thing, is that if you play a sport, there's a good chance you're going to get a concussion. I mean, I mean, just playing football with my friends, never got a concussion. I got a concussion playing basketball.
Right, exactly. Took
an elbow
right
to the head. I mean, it's one of the risks you take when you play basically any sport. There's a chance that you're going to get banged up, you're going to get injured. So, I mean, there's still studies that need to be done on that kind of stuff too, like how those other sports compare. But I mean,
yeah, football's in the spotlight though.
Yeah,
football is in the spotlight, and it's always going to get a much more negative rep in relation, in comparison to other physical sports out there. All right, folks. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We will have motivational speaker and author DeAndre Carter live in studio with me. You don't want to miss that show. In the meantime, have a great Wednesday evening and afternoon. Be easy, people.